This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. Okay, guys, I am probably one of the most accident-prone people on the planet. You can blame it on many things, bad luck, poor spatial perception, but it all results in the same thing. Bree can injure herself literally anywhere, anytime. Take, for instance, last week, I was plucking my eyebrows, people, and I stabbed myself in the hand. Next thing I know, I am bleeding everywhere going, what the heck just happened? But luckily for me, I had some Active Skin Repair on hand, just one spray, and it felt so much better. By the next day, it was not red, not sore. It was fantastic. I love this stuff. Active Skin Repair can be used to treat a wide range of skin issues, and since it's all natural, non-toxic, it's perfect for people like me with sensitive skin. It works by utilizing hydrochloric acid, which mimics a natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support the healing. With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients that are so safe and clean that it can be used from the youngest member of your family all the way up to the oldest, most accident prone like me, you can have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. So visit www.activeskincarerepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order by using the code NOGUILT. That's www.activeskincarerepair.com. Use the code NOGUILT to get 20% off your order.
Happy summer, y'all. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. This is Bree bringing y'all in for an encore presentation of one of our most popular podcast episodes. Today, we're going to be doing an encore presentation of 6 coping skills that will change your kids' lives with Janine Halloran. Janine Halloran is a licensed mental health counselor and is the founder of Coping Skills for Kids. She's a therapist, a mom, and author of several books, including the best-selling Coping Skills for Kids workbook and Coping Skills for Teens workbook. She creates resources to help kids learn healthy and safe ways to manage stress, anxiety, and anger. And we hope you enjoy this encore presentation of 6 coping skills that will change your kids' lives.
Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. I am your host, Joanne Crone, here with my festive co-host, Bree Tucker.
hello, everybody. How are you?
I get to use festive.
I was wondering what adjective you're going to come up with. I was almost thinking resilient.
Do you know, when I was a teacher, there were these books out like the Festive Teacher's Classroom. And I'm like, oh, look at that. I wish I was a festive teacher. Because, you know, me and my like stuff, I don't like stuff. And so decorating kind of falls under stuff. And then I feel all the shame for not being festive. So there's a lot of emotional baggage that probably doesn't need to go with that word for me. But for you, I meant it in a positive way.
Oh, no. I totally get that. I'm thinking to myself with the festive teacher. Oh, my gosh. I would think that's like Pinterest, like Gremlin Pinterest, where it just keeps multiplying. And it had all these beautiful things that you had to do that would also include hours and hours of crafting.
Hours and hours of crafting. That really is festive in my mind. I'm like, festive crafting? No.
That's right.
Not how I want to spend my time.
You know, my dream would be to be able, because I absolutely love Christmas. It was a big thing in my house mm-hmm. growing up. So that is my jam, right? Yeah. I would love to one day be able to hire those beautiful people that can come in and like design your house for you.
I would love that. I would love to have someone else come in and do that.
Right? Like, so it's pretty, but you didn't have to put all that time, energy, and effort in.
Yeah, I think that would really be my ideal thing. And I'm sorry to I hope I didn't offend any crafters out there. It is just...
Oh, we're just like, hats off to you.
Hats off to you. We want to hire you and give you all of our money.
Yeah. We don't have that. I don't have the eye.
Yeah. No. Well, it's really important to actually know like what you're good at and your strengths, because that helps you be resilient, which helps you develop really good coping skills, which leads into our guest today.
Which is a great segue.
Yes. My gosh. Janine Halloran is the founder of Coping Skills for Kids. She's a therapist and the author of several books, including the best-selling Coping Skills for Kids workbook. She creates resources to help kids learn healthy and safe ways to manage stress, anxiety, and anger. And we hope you enjoy our conversation with Janine. December is a busy, busy month in my house. And I know it's in your house too, Brie.
Yeah, but you have a lot going on. You have birthdays on top of everything. Oh
my gosh. We have my birthday. We have my daughter's birthday. And then my daughter loves Christmas too. So she tries to like combine the Christmas and the birthdays. And then the dance recitals, the holiday dance recital, and the end of year stuff with Cub Scouts.
My head
is about to explode. But with all of these holiday activities, it's really, really hard to keep track of them, which is why I am so thankful for Cozy, which is the number one organizing app that families use to juggle school schedules and practices, meetings, doctor's appointments, and even a workout or date night, and all of the holiday activities that are going on right now.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I wouldn't be able to make it every week without my Cozy app. Like, just the fact that getting that agenda is a godsend every week. Okay, this is where you gotta be this week, Brie. Oh my, I love it.
Sometimes it's what you need to make it through the day. You're like, if I look at everything for the month, like my head's going to explode. But since Cozy gives you a daily agenda, you're just like, okay, I could do this. I could do this day.
Yes, I can get this figured out. I even got reminders yesterday for everything I have going on this weekend. It's amazing how quickly I can forget things.
Yeah.
Well, 24 hours. I'm like, oh, I forgot I had that. Oh yeah, that's coming up tomorrow again.
Well, with our lives right now, it's essential to stay organized and have something do the organizing for you so that you have one less thing on your plate. And the best thing is it's free. Just download Cozy Family Organizer from the App Store. That's C-O-Z-I to get the free app today. And now on with the show.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast, Dideed. We're so happy to have you here and talk about all things coping skills that I think everybody needs during this time. So welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
We had a great pre-interview with you where we were talking about all things crusty butt chickens. And like, we just brought up all the stuff.
Crusty butt chickens, crazy roosters. Houses. Hundreds of years ago.
But I know this is going to be such a great conversation. Could you tell us a little bit about you and your story?
Yeah, absolutely. So professionally, I'm a licensed mental health counselor from Massachusetts, and I've been working with kids and teens and their families for 20 years. And part of the reason why I became a therapist is because personally, as a teenager, I went to see a therapist and it was phenomenal. Can you imagine as a teenager, you have an entire hour to talk about yourself? Mm-hmm. It was phenomenal. And it was actually really helpful. Like, I was working through a lot of different stuff and I was trying to figure out, you know, how to manage, you know, girl drama, all that sort of like teen angsty stuff. And I remember sitting in the therapy session, one therapy session one time, and I was like, I kind of think I want to do this with my life. How do I do that? So we ended up having a really lovely conversation. And so that's where sort of like my interest in therapy started. And it's my favorite. I love my job. I think it's fantastic. I get to play games all the time. And, you know, I had kids. And then one of the things that happened when I had kids is like, I was working in schools and I didn't necessarily want to be working full-time out of the house. So I started a business that was based on the strategies that I've used throughout therapy. So always been interested in coping skills, always been interested in having kids learn how to play and learn social skills through play. And so that's why I started my businesses. And then my husband pushed me to write a book. And then it sort of snowballed from there, ladies.
That's awesome.
Phenomenal path.
And I love how you describe having like a therapist as a teenager, just being like, have that hour just to talk about yourself. You describing that, I'm like, man, I would love that as a teenager too.
Right. And not having to have that conversation with your parents that know everything else.
Right. Exactly. Right. There's something so amazing about having a safe and trusted adult who is not going to be on you because your socks are on the floor. Or you have to do this. Or what about college? You know what I mean? Like, it's a very different sort of interaction that you have with them.
Or who isn't emotionally invested in you either, because right. I feel like a lot of my kids' problems I take on emotionally as well. So even though I, as a parent, am there to listen to them, I feel I am also struggling to contain myself when I listen to them.
I emphatically agree with that. Like in the case of our family, like I have a blended family in my household, and I think it is so phenomenal because my partner can say things to me from that non-emotional point of view of like, well, I think this is what's happening, you know, with your kid. And I think that you know, this might be a good thing. And then I can say the same thing back to him. I'm like, I think you're a little emotionally involved in that one right there. Mm-hmm. And so helpful to have that.
Yeah.
That is really, really helpful. Cause I, you know, as a therapist, I actually, it's hard for me too, to like separate and be able to be like, ooh, but sometimes I will like, I will imagine I'm putting on a therapist hat and I will go into my daughter's room or go into my son's room and be like, I'm the therapist now, I'm not mom. And I can help them work through something, but if they need more help, we will absolutely seek a therapist and have in the past and we'll continue. If we need to do it in the future, we will.
Yeah. I like that idea of putting on a therapist hat. I feel like I need to do that sometimes when I mentally prepare myself and talking with my kids. Then I'm like, I am the outside source that is not going to get emotionally involved. Here we go.
It is a lot easier said than done though. That's some serious, well, a topic we're talking about. That's some serious coping skills that you need there to be able to handle that and to be able to have that. I don't want to call it 6 degrees of separation, but have some degree of separation.
Yeah, no. And it, for me, it makes it easier because I do that all the time. Like when I walk into somebody's else's life, you know what I mean? Like I'm basically walking into their life and I'm trying to be that other adult. So I've gotten used to being able to do that. And so I sort of, it's practice, right? Like you have to practice how to do it, but there are times it does not work. So
there are times
I'm like, nope. Can you take care of that? I'm going to just step out for a second. I'm going to go get a cup of coffee, go for a drive. Like I'm going to need you to take this.
Well, I think we bring it so much of our personal understandings of like stress and anxiety, like from our own childhoods, when we talk to our kids about it. And I mean, from what I've heard, that stress and anxiety, the way we experienced it as teens and as kids is very different than how kids are experiencing it now and what's coming. Like, so what have you seen in terms of like the stress and anxiety of kids today?
Hey, all, it is Joanne
and Bree here.
And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explained. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explained, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like it was such a short episode and all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains, or just click on the link in our show notes.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Hey guys, Bree here. And let me tell you, April is a killer time of the year for me because it is crazy allergy season. I swear, everything that is in bloom looks fantastic and beautiful, but it makes it so I can't breathe. I am literally coughing, sneezing, rubbing my nose. I look like Rudolph half of the spring. It's terrible. But luckily for those of us who live with symptoms of allergies like I do, we live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can finally breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine is the best decongestant available. It relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy, watery eyes, itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. I absolutely love it. It is the only allergy medicine that works for me. So if you're ready to live life as if you don't have allergies, it's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just one quick trip trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin clear.
I will have to say, when I look back to the beginning of my career, anxiety was something like we talked about it. It was talked about in grad school. It was like, and you might see some people with anxiety. And now it is everywhere. And I think so much has changed in terms of social media and the, like, if you are having a problem with a person at school, you may not escape that. You know what I mean? It can follow you on social. It can follow you in your text threads. It can follow you everywhere. You know, if you are dealing with bullying, it's pervasive. It happens all over the place. Whereas if you're dealing with bullying at school, when we were growing up, you would like leave and you'd be like, phew, not to have to deal with that until tomorrow morning.
That's
8
true.
O'clock.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It makes a difference. And then there's also this intensity around the college process that was not there when I first started as a therapist. It just wasn't like everybody's talking about college, but it wasn't like I didn't have kindergartners like saving their work for like their Harvard application, which did actually happen. Like
that's crazy.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Because it was also like one of those high performance, really wealthy districts that I worked in before. And I was like, this is not okay. Like this, we should not be taught. You're 5. Color. Mm-hmm. Please color.
Oh my goodness.
So that's... when you think about that, right? Like think about all that additional pressure that's on kids. It's crazy.
It is crazy. So what I hear you saying is like social media just makes it all the time. You can't escape your problems. And then this intense pressure to achieve. And to achieve at like the highest level is really wearing on kids.
So much more than what we had growing up.
So much more. So you talk about the need for coping skills and you mentioned that there are 6 different types of coping skills. Can you run us through those?
Yep, absolutely. So I'll tell you just a quick story. The reason why I started coming up with this, I was working with a group of like preteens, teenage girls, and I was going through coping skills and I was going through strategies and stuff like that. And they were like, I had this one little girl with an attitude. She was like, this list is too long, Janine. I cannot figure this out. And I was like, okay.
that tone sounds familiar. Like I have heard it before in my house. Okay.
Cool. Yeah. Like I can do it really well because I hear it all the time. And so.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we all become experts in that.
Exactly. Right. So right there in the moment, we just started dividing them up. It was really an interesting sort of organic experience. And over time I was like, oh, these do have sort of like these different categories that make sense. So I talk about relaxation and I sort of divide that into 2. So that's like deep breathing is one section of that. And then the relaxation strategies like grounding and imagining your favorite place and doing some progressive muscle relaxation. Those would all fall into like, you're trying to relax and calm your body down.
That's funny. You say the grounding, I was just meditating with my daughter the other night. Like we do these meditations on the Peloton app and it's like one of those clear your mind things, which is what I would be doing. I would be doing the deep breathing and relaxation. But she, at the end, she's like, they told me to clear my mind, but all I could think about was Disneyland. And it just made me happy. So I kept thinking about Disneyland. So it was grounding. That was the grounding she was doing.
I love her. She's fantastic. Go with it. Because that's what that's her favorite. If that's a really favorite place for her, then that's relaxing for her. And it's really hard to clear your mind. P.S.
Like, it is really hard.
I never managed to clear my mind. Yeah. It doesn't turn off. I've lost the off switch.
Yeah.
See it anywhere. Yeah. Let me know.
Yeah.
No, I always, when I do mindfulness, it's like, I try to focus on a word or a sound. Cause otherwise, and then I'm just like, and I'm bringing my mind back and I'm bringing my mind back. Cause I just cannot like the clear mind. It's not a thing for me.
It's very hard. It's hard. So relaxation is one coping skill. What are the others?
Relaxation, distraction, which is actually a way to give your brain a break. It's not avoiding or denying or suppressing emotions, but like play is a natural stress reliever for kids. So they should do it and they should have opportunities to do that. And beyond just video games, and I'm not anti-video game, I play video games, but like board games, building, all sorts of things where they are being creative, reading, arts and crafts, that sort of stuff, to give their brains a break and to allow them to have some creativity and some fun. And then there's also movement, which is just moving your body in big or small ways. So like jumping jacks or going for a run or taking a walk in nature or squeezing a stress ball or squeezing Play-Doh. And then there's sensory, which is really focused on your senses. So breathing in calming scents, if that's something that works for you, sipping warm tea, sipping hot cocoa, getting a cool drink of water, that kind of thing. And then there's finally processing. And processing is really focused on your emotions and your thoughts. So like exploring how you feel things and where you feel things in your body, what you are feeling, journaling about what's going on for you, figuring out the things that are tough for you. So I tend to see that kids gravitate towards one or two sort of strategies. And so it makes it sort of easier to, like, if you have that like list, then they can go through and be like, ooh, I like this. I like this. I like this. I can do this the next time that something is going awry.
That's awesome. No. So I'm curious, do you see a certain age group tending to go towards a certain, like more of one than another, or is it really just different for each individual?
It's different for each individual. It's like kid dependent more than age dependent. So, you know, just like they have like different ways of learning, they have different ways of coping. So in my house, I have two kids. I have my son who is sensory and movement all the way. He was in utero and he still is now. And
they just come born that way. Yeah. Like, <they're> just dancing.
Yeah, like, all the, like rolling. He would roll all the time. Maybe like, what are you doing, buddy? Anyway. Yeah. So, and then my daughter, who's really super into relaxation and super into distraction. She loves arts and crafts. That is her. She loves it. She will sit down and that will help clear her mind. She loves doing progressive muscle relaxations, actually. She does some deep breathing. She's like super not cool on all the deep breathing things, but she's found a couple of things that she loves. So that's her. She's more of a like, I'm not going to run around like my brother. I'm going to sit down and chill out.
That's what sounds like my daughter as well.
So I'm curious, if you've got a kiddo that you know needs to work on these and is resistant to the basic ones, which I think most of us know about the deep breathing, mm-hmm. right? That's a pretty common one that a lot of us know about, or talking about your thoughts and feelings, the processing part. And they're like, no, neither of those work for me. Do you have any advice on like a good way to kind of get their feet wet, get their toes in there so that maybe they can start expanding?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, I would say don't give up as the parent. I know, because they can be kind of attitude-y, right? Especially like teenagers. Don't want to, right? They don't want to. So sometimes I will do it with them and I will try and get them with something that is more interesting to them. So like I've tried mindfulness by eating chocolate with my teenage clients, and even actually I did it remotely with my kids. Good. Yep. I had a couple of clients I was seeing remotely during COVID. And I mean, it's really hard to see little ones. I mean, they're not super little, but they're like upper elementary, early middle school. And I was like, we're doing mindfulness. I'm sending you some Lindor. Don't open it till I get there. Like we're on screen together. And we eat the chocolate together and we like pay attention to how it feels in our mouths and the taste. And we talk about it. Right. So there's like trying to find creative ways to get them to try something, and then also doing it with them. Cause mm-hmm. a lot of times like you're like, oh, let's do this thing. And they're like, I don't want to do it. And it's like, and it's weird. Like if you're sitting there as the adult and there's a kid and they're like doing something and you're just watching them, that's strange. So like doing it with them makes it a little bit easier. And then you can have that shared conversation of, I liked that, or I didn't really like that. That didn't feel good in my body. You know, like just being upfront about it and like, oh, what was your reaction to it? How did it go for you?
I love that. I'm going out to go get some chocolate or what are those little things? Not boba, but like flavor pearls or whatever. Oh. You know those things that you can get at the yogurt shop?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned chocolate, because I actually had a therapist who gave me homework that I had to get my favorite chocolate and eat it for like take 5 minutes to eat it every night. Now I'm like,
now I know what she was doing.
She was doing mindfulness with me. So kids have all of this stress and anxiety, what are some things like parents can start doing right now to help them with it?
Yeah. So I would say the first thing and the most basic thing is to label their feelings, label their emotions. I love doing that. It is actually really powerful. And I've seen it happen so many times in my career. It's like kind of funny to think about when it seems so simple, but it actually makes such a difference when a kid can be like, I'm so angry. And then suddenly you see them like sort of settle and they're like, okay, now we can have a conversation. Like, all right, I see that you're angry. I'm here for you. Let's talk about what made you angry. Let's figure this out. Even my own son, like, I'm so frustrated, especially remote school, y'all. And so like getting
no joke.
Him to, yeah. like, no, to getting him to like calm down and do what he needed to do was just being able to say, I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I don't like this. And you talk about Dr. Dan Siegel and Tina Payne Bryson, their work in terms of labeling your emotions makes it so much easier to then self-regulate. So that is such a huge piece of being able to help kids be able to regulate themselves as they go through life, just to be able to say, I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling worried. I'm feeling anxious. And now let's do something.
You have probably heard me talk about my dog, Addie, before. And when we first got her, we didn't know that she was a counter surfer. Now, counter surfing animals are the ones who jump on counters, especially kitchen counters, when you're not looking and take stuff off of them. Well, in this instance, Addie had jumped onto the kitchen counter and eaten an entire bottle of my other dog's pain medication. You can imagine the freak out that ensued from me. So imagine this. You're at the vet's office again. Knowing that vet care costs continue to rise, you're anxiously waiting to hear how expensive the bill will be. But if you had pet insurance, your pet could be covered for accidents or illnesses. That's why you should check out ASPCA Pet Health Insurance.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care that they may need. They allow you to customize the plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account.
To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/no guilt. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/no guilt. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/no guilt.
This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tidy humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
Yep, they got to be able to name it to tame it, man. Yeah,
exactly. Yep, you took the words out of my mouth. I was going to quote that. Dr. Siegel and Dr. Tammy Payne Bryson.
I love them. I love it.
I am super fans of them. We had Dr. Tina Payne Bryson on the podcast and we were both like, hi.
a little star. But I love that. I love the labeling part, because I come from early childhood, like 0 to 5. And like, I felt like that was the message that I was hoping that there was one thing parents got out of the work I was doing with them, was that the world of emotions go beyond happy, sad, and mad.
Yes.
And the more words you can give your child, the more that they can understand what's happening and be able to figure out how to move through those emotions.
Exactly.
Not go around them, right? But move through them.
Move through them, learn how to take them on and deal with them and increase your emotional load or be able to tolerate more.
And I think emotions. That something you just said is a really good point. with so much going on. And in our pre-conversation before we started the podcast, we were talking about how this year, how COVID has brought a lot of different stresses and anxieties into our households. Every single household has been touched in some way, shape, or form with it. And I think that explaining to our children in detail about these feelings that we don't typically use to describe when they're really young, talking about what anxiety feels like, what I feel anxious, I feel frustrated, I feel confused. Those kinds of words have to be so helpful for kids these days.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Labeling your emotions is one thing that parents can do today. What else can they do?
The second thing I would recommend is to practice gratitude as a family. It is so easy to focus on the negative. Our brains are sort of wired to do that. And in order to rewire our brains, we need to practice looking for the good. So by practicing it, we will find more good. And you can do it as a family. And it doesn't have to be like big or complicated. You can just say it out loud at dinner. That's what we do in our house. You can do something really fancy, like getting a gratitude jar or writing it down on slips of paper and making a paper chain. Like, you can go real fancy. And when my kids were little, I was all about that. Like, I was the perfect preschool teacher mom. But now that they're older, they don't necessarily want to do that. And so we just talk about it at dinner, especially as COVID was really, like, we were in lockdown. And it was really hard. And it was a lot of emotions and crying. And so it's just finding one good thing. It doesn't matter how big or how small, it's just one good thing a day. And then, you know, everybody says it. And all the adults have to say it too. So we get a chance to practice as a family. They hear it from us, we hear it from them, and we can bond over those things.
And it's funny because when you ask kids to like tell gratitude and notice their gratitude, and then it's turned on you as an adult, you realize how hard it is.
Yeah.
Because like I do gratitude with my kids in the car when I pick them up from school, and they're like, okay, well, what's good with you, mom? And I'm here and I'm thinking, and I'm like, man, like, this is a skill I need to work on as well, because it doesn't immediately come to mind.
Okay. You have a really good trick though, to get them to tell you the good things in the car.
I have a box of sweet tarts in my car.
I love that.
It's how I got them going. My kids love candy. And I'm like, okay, one sweet tart for every positive comment. And they were like, oh, this happened and this happened and this happened. And I'm like, okay, we have to stop at 3. And then tomorrow we'll do some more. But now like it's gotten to the point where my son, who before would come into the car and be like, oh, it was such a bad day, he'll come into the car and he'll tell me immediately one good thing that happened.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And he doesn't expect a sweet tart for it either. So.
Yep. He's rewired his brain. And so now he's looking for them.
He's rewired it. So yay for gratitude. So we have labeling emotions, practicing gratitude. What's like one more thing we can give to parents they could do right now?
I would say that parents need to, as you were talking about, turning it on ourselves and showing that we are human and we need to cope too. So using our own coping strategies and being okay with being imperfect. That's the thing. As parents, we are going to make mistakes, and no kid wants a perfect parent. You know what I mean? No kid wants a parent who doesn't make a mistake. But to own our mistakes and to own our own emotions and our own feelings and our own behaviors, and to apologize when we need to, and to say, I'm feeling frustrated, I'm going to take a break, or I'm feeling a little bit worried right now, I'm going to go do this thing, or I'm really upset right now, can we go and maybe like do something together that would really help me? You know what I mean? Like something like that, where you can actually say like, we have emotions, we can do something about it, and we can make ourselves feel better. To be that role model of not perfection, but like being okay with imperfection.
I think, yeah, it's so important. And it's becoming more popular these days to actually show emotions, which I'm really, really thankful for. I know I follow Glennon Doyle, and like, I read her stuff about like just having sad days. And this past weekend, I had a sad day where I was just teary. There was no reason why. And my kids were like, are you okay? And it felt weird being like, I'm just sad today, and that's all. And I'm just going to cry a little bit. But it's hard showing that as a parent, because we didn't have any models before us. Like, we're kind of like the first parenting models, our generation, of showing emotions and making it okay.
I agree with that. And I think it makes a big difference to our kids, because like you just said, if your parent is it models perfection and models like complete emotional regulation and never shows any emotions, then you learn that that's what you need to do too. And then you start to think something's wrong with you because you have emotion. And also, doesn't that turn your parent into someone who can't really give you advice on emotions? Oh, I'm not going to go to mom about it because she never shows that she gets upset. So how could she know how I feel? Mm-hmm. How could she understand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. No,
there's something powerful when parents, I actually saw this a few weeks ago. A parent was actually talking about their own anxiety and like their kid was like, you feel that? You have that in your body? Like, you know, I was like, yeah, he does. Right? So go talk to your dad now.
Yeah. Right. You know what? That also reminds me, and you might remember who you heard this from, but somebody had said, an influencer of sorts, about how like we need to hold it together for our kids at all times.
Oh, it was probably Rachel Hollis.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And I just felt like that was such not good information.
It was not good information. No, it was not good information.
Like, there's times when we need to hold it together somewhat, but it doesn't mean that we don't show any emotions.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not that brick wall.
No, that's not normal.
Yeah, not normal.
Exactly.
It's not normal.
Supposed to be able to process.
Well, Janine, this has been such an amazing conversation. And I know like once we hit this interview like off, we're probably going to talk with you more. But as we're going, what is one thing that you're looking forward to in your own life that's coming up?
Oh my gosh. In my own life, personally or professionally?
Either one.
Either one or both.
Okay. So I'm a little bit, I'm nervous, excited about this thing that's coming up. Nerve-sighted, I call it.
I like that.
So I'm going back to my college because I was awarded the Alumni Entrepreneur of the Year, but I get very nervous. I public speak all the time, but I still get nervous about it. So I'm like nervous to be in my college where I took all like my big courses. So I have to get up and take the award, and then I'm actually doing a talk the next day. So I'm excited and I'm nervous. My kids are coming to them at college and they've never seen it. And I'm going to see like my old college roommate. I haven't seen her in like 10 years. So I'm excited.
That is exciting. Congratulations.
Yes.
I was like, yeah, I'd be nerve-sighted too. I'm going to use that word.
I know. I made a note. Nerve-sighted.
Nerve-sighted.
New word to add.
Well, thank you so much, Janine. We will have links in the show notes where people can find you and get more of your goodness. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
So I got Janine's book right after we interviewed her.
You did?
I did. It's actually right here. I didn't even show you. Like, it's right here. The Coping Skills for Kids workbook.
Oh my gosh. I love it.
And I had my son go through it. I like sold it to him. I was like, you know what? I need some coping skills too. And I'll go through this workbook with you. And so at breakfast yesterday, we opened up the table of contents and she has it like listed in the subjects that she talked about in our episode, like the grounding techniques, the distraction techniques, the processing coping skills, the physical coping skills, like all there. And he was looking through distraction coping skills and he was really, really happy with something he found there.
What did he find?
Play video games is one of the skills that Janine lists in her book. And so I think like that was immediate buy-in for him because he's like, yes, that is a coping skill.
She gets me, mama.
She gets me. But it's also funny because he went to the calming coping skills and he pointed to grounding techniques. And he's like, no. And I'm like, what? And then I realized.
You're like, it's a different kind of grounding,
it's
dude.
It's a different kind of grounding.
Different type of grounding. Well, I just, honestly, I have not felt like more connected with somebody in a long time like I did with Janine. Mm-hmm. Like everything she was saying, I 100% felt supported and was like, yes, those are all the things that I would love to do. And I have to say, the suggestion of eating chocolate as a therapeutic technique to help with mindfulness, I love.
It's really brilliant. Good. It's so funny when she mentioned that because actually I've been in therapy before and my therapist actually told me to do that. Like she says, what's your favorite chocolate? And I'm like, Ghirardelli's dark chocolate sea salt caramel squares. Have you had those?
Yes. One time I think you shared one with me.
Oh, well, what's your favorite chocolate?
I am definitely a peppermint person. So oh, yeah, like anything like with mint, I don't have a favorite because chocolate really isn't my huge thing.
What if they did pumpkin and chocolate? Would that work?
No.
No.
I don't think so. What you would get me for a mindfulness technique would be ice cream.
Ice cream.
Eating it slowly and all that, like being thoughtful of the whole process, like that. That would get me.
It is really hard though, because when you're being mindful and you're eating chocolate, like it's so good and you're just like, I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to eat the chocolate. You get really mad. At least I did.
But it helps you in the moment. It helps you in the moment.
It does help.
It was awesome. So I loved having Janine, and I am so looking forward to, you're going to be on her podcast.
Yes. Yes. I'm going to be on her podcast in January.
Oh my gosh.
So look for that episode. Yes, we'll, and we had a great conversation. That. And when I popped on with her, and it was actually like this morning that we're doing this recording, I had my interview with Janine, and like, it was just like an old friend.
Oh yeah, we're gonna. You guys are gonna see more of her. We are gonna have some more collaborations coming for sure.
Yes. So remember, the best mom is a happy mom. Take care of you, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for stopping by.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.